morning, Patriots. And I hope you're having a great Tuesday morning. I swear this week goes by faster and faster. These weeks just race by. It's one of those insane things about the time in which we live. So let's remember that we have Bard's Fest, August 26th to the 29th. That's coming up faster than I'd like to admit. It seems to be getting closer and closer than the calendar even shows. And that's going to be also a big day on the 27th of August at the Family Arena when Mike Lindell is going to speak. And we're going to celebrate that day with him for being one of America's great CEOs with the Slipper Revolution. And we're doing that by pushing as many sales as possible to MyPillow. And we're getting people to get my slippers, my pillows, my sheets, my blankets, my towels, my comforters, my doggy beds. I hope you don't have to sleep in a doggy bed, because if you do, that means things probably aren't going well at home. But you can go to MyPillow.com and you can use Bards, B-A-R-D-S, promo code, B-A-R-D-S, and get great savings there. And that's going to be part of supporting what is, in my opinion, the best CEO in probably in our history, for the amount of time and money and effort that Mike Lindell is spending to help save this nation almost single-handedly, while the cancel left tries to wipe out his company, taking away $65 million in sales. We have to work hard to make sure that we can give that back by supporting him with sales and getting some great product in exchange. They've got great products, great things. So you can use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. You can go to MyPillow.com. You can call somebody and talk to a real person at 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. And with that, you'll be in great shape. And you can get yourself a pair of my slippers. Come to the Bard's Fest with your my slippers. Be ready to throw those on your feet. So you can put my slippers on your feet. That sounds kind of goofy, doesn't it? Well, what are you doing with my slippers or my feet? But you can do that on Friday. You can do it any day if you want. But on Friday in particular, when Mike Lindell speaks, that's when it's all going to be there. And you can celebrate having a great Slipper Revolution Day. And hopefully, Patriots, we can rise to the occasion and sell a million pairs of my slippers by August. That's the big push. So use the promo code. Bards, B-A-R-D-S, MyPillow.com, and, or, either one, maybe both, 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. All that information is below the podcasts, so jump on over there, give them some support, get some great product, get some great savings, and let's make this thing happen. Tell you what, in Oregon, for it to be 94 yesterday, I feel like I was living in Florida again, which happened years ago. Somebody's been doing weather jerking around again. We can only imagine. Not that that ever happens in our world. Oh, but wait a minute. I'm sure it's global warming. I'm sure it's that. I'm just, you know what? Here's one for you. During the fires we had, it was in 2020, just before the election, naturally, which always happens just before, something happens in October, always before the election. And that was before the Antifa terrorists launched their attacks on Oregon. So that actually, yeah, it was at least a year ago. It could have been a little bit over. But we had all sorts of crazy stuff happen here. We always get a wind from the Pacific. It's part of the jet stream, so our winds run from the West Coast inland. So 3 days before that whole nonsense, or 5 days before that whole nonsense started, just like happened in Paradise, California, the winds shifted, started running out to the ocean, dried up everything. But of course, that's just global warming. And then, of course, you have the amazing, miraculous event that Transformers again just happened to be blowing up and sparking fires. this is the question I always have, is if there's transformers that sparked a fire, then how come there's not lawsuits to sue the companies for defective transformers? That never seems to happen. But it is global warming. I'm sure that's why transformers are accidentally sparking fires, because it's all climate change and global warming and, you know, the end of the world. And the only solution to it, I understand, is that we have to depopulate the world. Oh, wait a minute. We've got that. We have that solution in process. It's called the injection. And, you know, what's even most amazing is the ones who took it are all environmentalists. I'm sure glad they stepped up and volunteered. My goodness. What an amazing time we live. The love of money. If there's one thing that can actually absolutely sink humanity, it's the love of money. If there's one thing that seems to be sinking humanity, it's the love of money. But it goes deeper than that. There's basically two types of jobs in the world. There's a job in which you bring to that job everything that you have, and you build your gifts and talents to become the best you can, as God guides you. Critical words. And there is the job where you join the job and you shape everything you do around the expectations of the job to be recognized as the best you can be by those who employ you. Follow that difference. One is you're building as God guides you. The other, you are building as the employer wants you to. Unfortunately, way too many people do the latter. They get into their jobs and they build into that job to do as their employer desires them to, or as they think their employer guides them to, which is even worse. Trying to give homage to the great check paycheck writer instead of using their gifts and talents and letting God guide them and growing from there. And this is important because it's obviously because it gets to the principles of right work. Right work. What is right work? It's the whole principles of using your gifts and talents in such a way that you're amplifying God in everything you do as part of your job. Your life, your job, your duty to God all become part of the same process. God never said, this is the left's little trick here. Yes, work is so difficult. People say, yes, it's useless. I don't know what to do. And the leaders of the left say, actually, I should just say corporate tyranny. They say, we have an idea for you. We're going to give you a UBI. Well, what, oh great master, is a UBI? Well, a UBI is a universal basic income. We'll give you a basic amount of money every month for you just to exist, because we are the benevolent greatness of this world. Out of the goodness of our heart, we're going to give you a basic amount of income. Now, in exchange for that, you will own nothing. In exchange for that, you will rent everything. And no, you don't get a choice on the rent prices, because that will be something we determine, and your UBI will be something we determine. But in your glory of this, you're going to get to do whatever you want and explore whatever you'd like to do. Of course, as long as it's within the rules that we determine that are legal, impossible, and acceptable. But you'll be happy. And the peasants bow and they say, oh, great master of money and overlord of power, we worship you, we worship you. Let us lick your boots with our tongue. That is basically what we're faced with right now on one massive side of society. Blind obedience to a worship and blind obedience to a deceit that is going to lead them right off the cliff. Luke 14:28-30. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. When we see those on the left succumbing to these promises of UBI and healthcare as a human, whatever they call it, a human requirement now, and they start talking about not having to work so they can pursue their own futures and desires. They can do whatever they want. They don't have to worry about anything. No one has thought through the building of that tower, I'll tell you right now. They truly believe in those places that corporate is there to benefit them. This is the same mentality, by the way, of the youth that are now breaking from their parents' instructions and getting the injection. It's going to be a rude wake-up call when they start to realize that they've sterilized themselves, and maybe more. Not maybe, likely more. We are in a place in this world and in this time when there is a group of people that believe the corporations are there for their benefit. I honestly, and I mean this, I don't even know how this happens. All you have to do is pay attention to Wall Street for half an hour to see what a bunch of deceitful turds run this engine of a society. But that's not how they see things. They see the corporations are there for their benefit, and here's how that kind of paints out. Google's a good example. Facebook's a good example. Apple's a good example. Electronic Arts is a good example. They've created little fiefdoms. It's basically medieval castles is what they've created. They don't look medieval. They look modern. But if you notice, one thing is consistent on every one of those compounds. Even check out Nike in Hillsboro, Oregon. Or Beaverton, Oregon. Every one of them has one thing in common. They all have a wall around them. Nike does an earth-bermed wall. Apple has a new round complex, but there's an exterior and interior wall. All of them have a compound which you enter. You enter inside the castle. Once you're inside the castle, there's a set of rules. As long as you follow those rules, you can have all you want. Everything is free, or more or less. You have chefs to cook your meals. If you're Google, you might even get a bus ride in for free. You don't have to have a car. One guy in Google still lives in his van. He's trying to save money by sleeping in his van in the parking lot. Never really leaves the Google campus. They call it a campus. They don't call it a prison. They call it a campus. And the difference between the campus and the prison is that they pay better and that you're perceived to have more freedom. But if you step away from that line of obedience, see, they throw you out to the dogs. If you're Zach Voorhees and you speak out, they call the police and accuse you of being a psychotic and carrying a gun, and they try to arrest you for being a threat to society. See, this is the true power of things, and this is the illusion, because people see these jobs and they don't look at the foundation of this castle that's been built, this tower, this that they've built and been part of, and they're not seeing what's actually building that tower that they're in. Those towers were built on human labor, on human IP, intellectual property, in which the corporation took in exchange for a few tokens. Some tokens to give you free food, to give you an opportunity to play basketball whenever you wanted to, volleyball, go to the gym, get a massage, whatever you need, as long as you work relentlessly and give every bit of your work to them, not to God, but to them. And those that have succumbed to that have absolutely given their greatest gifts, the talents that God gave them, they handed them over to the overlords of money and power and darkness. This is why Christ flipped tables. One of his main reasons he flipped tables was because the money exchangers. And what were the money exchangers doing? They were converting the gift, the tithe, into dollars, which was then taking God's gift, one of the most powerful things we possibly have. It's the gift of tithing. True tithing from the heart is to pay forward, to pay with goodness and blessing into the world, to create a world of moving forward of based on goodwill. It's a fabric of the way our world works. The giving. God talks about it throughout the Bible. To give. And that whole principle of giving is what makes this world move forward in the way that God intended. Babylonian money magic does just the opposite. It intercepts right at the point when you're tithing. It intercepts that and turns a gift of your labor, of God's gift that he's given you, into something known as money. It's coinage. It's paper. This day and age is worse than ever because the coinage has, our coinage doesn't have any value. It's just worthless unless we believe in it, and that's the key. The paper dollar has no value unless we give it worship, and that's exactly what we do. We give it an enormous amount of worship. So we take our gifts and our talents, and we convert them to paper, and in so doing, we've converted those that gift that we have, that we would then use a portion of that to tithe and do better for others, into money, and that was what was happening when Christ entered into the temple, and they were converting those tithes to money, which then could be pocketed by the Pharisees to be used for whatever nefarious acts they wanted, but taking the gift away from God and then requiring people to end up having to pay their way to heaven. That's not the way God designed the world. And it's not the way that the world can work if we're going to be related to God. And yet that's exactly what's happened again, even in the modern day. People go to work for these big corporations. They go to work with these opulent type of living. The desks, by the way, I've been inside these compounds. Don't get excited about the desks. Everybody's still in a cubicle. They just don't call it that. And then they have a neat little breakout teams where they can go over and sit in cool little rooms. Everything around them is owned by someone else, by the corporation. Their life is provided for them. The privileges of this life are provided to them by the corporation. As long as they continue to gift their gifts and talents to the full capacity to the corporation will do things like, we'll give you some stock options. We'll give you a nice 401k. We'll give you good vacation. We'll give you good health care. All of these things have a cost. And so people compete heavily to get involved with these jobs because they don't see work as anything other than a way to personally gain. And in the process, they never sat down and calculated the cost of what it would be to build the tower, which they have now joined. It's the Tower of Babylon. All of these institutions represent the new towers of Babylon. It's not just one. They're all the philosophical arrangements that were the same as Babylon. They all use the tricks of Babylon. And they subvert the masses. They make them think they've come together. They've even given them a universal language. Allowed you to talk to everybody and anybody. Imagine. Who can't you talk to on the internet these days as long as you have a Google Translator? And that whole idea of giving your gifts and talents to dollars and to money is permeated across our entire culture. It's what's in our government. It's what's in education. Tell me a teacher that starts out, I'll give you an example, really. I mean, not an example, but the point of teachers. Think about a teacher that leaves college with good ideas, conservative values, that wants to go teach, which, by the way, is rare. And tell me how long they remain as a conservative valued teacher after they get into the school, get into their union, and they get their guaranteed retirement package. I guarantee you it doesn't last long. And there are very few of them that can withhold that because their interest then suddenly changes. It's like, okay, let me see. I get to work 9 months, get 3 months off. If I do it right, I can pick up some extra work in the summer, or I can go to school and get my education paid for free. I can continue to do that for, say, 15 or 20 years. In the process, I can stack up and amass enough income that I'm making more in retirement than I was when I was working. Oh, and that's right. The taxpayers are paying that for me because, why? Because I deserve it because I'm a teacher. And oh, whoa, the difficulties of being a teacher. Oh, whoa, the difficulties of only being able to work 9 months out of the year. Oh, whoa, me. As we use your gifts and talents to nurture the youth to line your pocket as the primary motive. No one says you don't make money or a salary to live. No one says you need to be living on the street, poor and homeless. But it's always back to the motive of where do you begin? What is your job? Is your job one that you work to appease your master? Or is your job one in which you work to appease and honor God in all things that you do through the gifts and talents he gave you? And that is the big question. And if we face that question, each and every one of us, we begin to understand the costs of building the towers of our lives. Some of them are just towers of glorification of God, metaphorically speaking. What we don't want is to build a tower, metaphorically speaking, that becomes a Tower of Babel. This time in this age is one of the most blessed moments where we can sit back and truly realize where we are in relationship to our work and our values and our motives. All things are being revealed. And it's a time that we can make a choice like never before of whether we want to be moving forward and not counting the costs and continue to serve the masters, to appease the masters, or whether we want to make a position and take a position and a stand where we can literally serve God. Right before us is one of those big choices, and it literally is the injection. Are you going to take the injection or are you not? And when people say to me, well, I'm going to lose my job, then I say, then you've already made the decision of what master you serve. And it's that simple. If you have trust in God, if you have trust in God and you follow that path, there's a point you have to make hard decisions. And it doesn't mean that you're going to get the free basketball court, the free yoga sessions, the free chef on staff to cook you whatever you want at work. It might mean that you have to struggle a little bit harder, cut down on what you produce or what you make for a while. That you're going to have to go through some lean times. But what you create becomes the respect and honor of what God has given you as gifts and talents. And what comes of this is a freedom unlike anything one can describe. It's the glory of knowing that every day you get up, you breathe in, you say to God, God, what are we going to do today? And the miracles begin. It's the glory of finishing a day every day exhausted and saying to God, thank you, Lord, for this amazing day. What are we going to do to get, what are we going to do tomorrow to keep doing these amazing things? And through your gifts and talents and everything that you do, you are honoring God in all things. Oh, it's that type of work's rough. And I mean it. It's ours. It's the gifts and talents at work schedule, which means you're going to work from morning to night in one capacity or another. You're never going to stop. Sure, you're going to have time to have a little chat with somebody, but you're going to find that your world gets pretty small. Circles of friends kind of narrow down. That your closest relationship, your best quote-unquote buddy, loosely put, isn't Joe or Sally. It's Jesus Christ. Because in process of everything that you do, you have God and Christ with you in all things. That's who you end up relying on all things. And that's the quote, master, if you will, loosely put, you serve. Your gifts and talents then become an extension of what God wants of you in this world. And there is no measure of money in the world that can deliver that level of satisfaction and joy it puts within your heart. None. That's right work. It's not this goofball, well, I got to go on a cool bus to Google and it's so nice I don't have to drive because I can sit and I can spend that 2 hours of that commute time on my cell phone catching up on emails. And then when I get to work, I'm caught up and I can start doing some more emails. And then when I get tired, I can go and I can get a free yoga session. Oh, it's so wonderful. I can play some basketball and I can get my smoothie made for me by some little Chinese chef that's been hired in. That's a specialty in herbal green smoothies. I mean, seriously. And this is what you see in these people and why they constantly seek more things, more demands, more guarantees. I want this guaranteed in my life, UBI, Universal Basic Income. I want healthcare as a human right, a need they must have to guarantee. Don't exclude me. All of us who can afford this, can be privileged, need to get these benefits. It'd be nice if everyone had them, but don't take mine away. That's the great one. Yes, I think everyone should share this, but don't take mine away. Worshipping the Dark Lords, not counting the costs of what it took to build the tower that they're part of. So in this time, an opportune time, if you are not working in a place where you are working with God in all that you do, if you're not working in a job where you are literally able to say, I'm working with my gifts and talents as a right work as God intended. If you're working in that way, push harder. If you're working towards that, push harder. If you are building your life around that, God bless you, push harder. And if you're not yet, start. It's that simple. If we are truly going to live this vision of building a new world based on the values of God's laws and of the gifts and talents in which he gave, there is no time to waste. If there's one piece of urgency in my life, and there's a couple of them, it isn't the collapse of the world. I don't even worry about that. I don't worry about the return of Jesus Christ, because when it happens, I'm ready. I don't worry about whether it's going to be the apocalypse. Whatever, gotcha, check that box. When it happens, I'm ready. What I concern myself with is how can I build everything in my life to be more aligned in every breath, step, and thing that I do, using God's gifts and talents to be more aligned with God in all my life and all I do. That includes sleep too, by the way. And I'm not exaggerating. When I can literally walk in this world and say that every bit of my path is a constant prayer and supplication and respect for all that God gave me and is enhancing this world through what God has provided me. When that is at 100% at the end of my day, and when I wake up is still at 100%, then I will say that there's probably still room to work because I probably need to be at 120. That's the commitment we're talking about. So if you're working a job and it's miserable and you're just doing that job, I understand there's needs to pay bills. But start making the effort to move your life and your work towards that direction and gifts and talents that God gave you. If you're working, say, a transition space where you're trying to move your gifts and talents into the work that you're wanting and you're still needing another job, great. Then push harder into your gifts and talents, trust in God, and let him guide you. And if you're working in that space where you're already working with God's gifts and talents in all that you do, push higher, push farther. Let's see how far God will take you. Don't ever settle That's the big thing. The rewards that we get aren't going to come in the forms of golden handcuffs, 401ks, great healthcare packages, free life insurance. It's going to come in ways of rewards that we cannot measure. But the wealth that you're gained within your heart is equally unmeasurable because it's the greatest gift that God gives us. And it's part of this world and a part of this fabric of the world that needs to be rebuilt. It's based on the gifts and talents, and it's based on the true giving of the heart. And when we reset those two principal issues, there's some serious, serious power that happens in this world. And the one thing that comes of that is that the dark lords of the corporate world no longer own your soul. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed each day to come together to use these tools that allow us to communicate over time and space, to come together as one, to hear your wisdom, to hear your words, to guide us each and every day. Lord, in this day when so much is being controlled by the corporate overlords, we pray for each and every one of your children to hear the calling of their gifts and talents, to be able to have the courage to step into the world and to follow them, to see clearly in this maze of corporate traps, salary offerings, indebtedness, to see clearly on how we are going to navigate this path to free ourselves and to work truly for the only one and true person in this world, one and true Lord of this world, the one and only living God, and that's you. Let us walk that path, Lord, in this place where we can give of our gifts and talents into this world. We can tithe truly from the heart, free from the hooks and traps of the Babylonian magic that has laced itself into all aspects of our lives, free from the corporate controllers that want to dictate who we should worship to and how we should tithe in this world, and instead work purely from that place of the gifts and talents of the heart to reset this world back on the foundations of right work and glory to you in all things. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. The one thing to keep in mind is, and I hear this very frequently, I'm stuck in a job because I have this. I have a bill. I have a debt. I need my income. When you put yourself in that paradigm to say you're stuck, you're stuck. You're done. Forget it. Walk away. And I'm being this intentionally harsh. When you turn that over to God and say, God, I feel stuck. Show me the way and trust in God and start opening your eyes. Things will begin to happen. We are only stuck in places because we put ourselves there by our own free will. We are only stuck in places because we followed paths not true to the way God intended us to live. Remember, we talk about true prosperity. Not a prosperity gospel. But true prosperity is the wealth of the heart, the wealth of the gifts and love that God gives us. One of the greatest fears people have is stepping away from that dependency on a salary. And you know, I'm going to tell you something too. When you do, you're probably going to fail once in a while. You might fall flat on your face, and that's the greatest thing that can ever happen. But boy, do you learn and boy, do you gain a respect for all that God has given you. Failure is part of the process because it's part of the learning. But what this whole architecture has done is to tell you, you're going to be okay. There will be no fear. Come work for me. Give me your gifts and talents. I promise you, you'll get something in return. I'll give you that free massage. I'll give you that free meal. I'll give you that benefit of some extra money but in the end, I will own your soul, but you will feel safe. That's what has happened. Instead of, God, I'm walking in this world. In all things that I do, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to use your gifts and talents to the betterment of all people. I'm going to grow my gifts and talents greater than I ever thought possible because I'm going to trust in you. Lord, guide me and protect me in all that I do. Allow me to stand firmly on the rock of faith. Allow me to walk fearlessly in this world and free, and let me tithe into this world truly from my heart to help improve somebody else's life, to help those in need, to love my neighbor as they would want to be loved, as I would want to be loved, and above all, to love you. Walking that way, patriots, you're now walking in the place of right work. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. This is a time for prayers in a way that free us from this architecture of control. And the way that that begins is simply asking yourself, what's the right work? What are the gifts and talents that God intends for me to use? Trust in the Lord. Fear not. God's got this. He's got you. He's never going to leave you. But you have to do some work to get to the place of being free yourself. And in the end, God will always win. Have a very blessed day. I'll see you in the next hour for Storm Dispatch. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
Fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're riding your hand. Of Eden running with